Don't say.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of the Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
Today's podcast is brought to you by GoToMeeting.com. And you know, if you aren't using a web conferencing tool, or the service you use is clunky, use my first choice, GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is really easy to use. It turns a call in an instant to an online meeting just with one click. It's affordable, as many meetings as you want for just $49 per month. Very secure, and it substantially reduces meeting-related expenses. You can try GoToMeeting for free for 30 days. If you go to simply the address of gotomeeting.com/podcast, you get 30 free days of unlimited service, and you also get the opportunity to check it out. I highly recommend that we use it for our meetings and our online virtual meetings. Simply go to gotomeeting.com/podcast and go get your 30-day free trial. And today's podcast is also brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. And welcome to another episode of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. This is Andrew Horowitz. Episode number 145, we're moving along straight to episode 150, which I mentioned last week. We're going to have a very special episode. A few of you sent in some emails and all that. I think we're going to do it a better way. I want you to call in a Skype number. I'll give you in a second this Skype, and we'll see how this works. And I'm going to give you another email, because episode 150, we want to be all about you. We want to make it so that basically the episode is going to be a question and answer, kind of a, I don't know if you think of a live radio show maybe, but not so live. It's going to be current questions about the markets, the economy, the environment, the politics, whatever you have on your mind, whatever you want to ask, I'll do my best to answer. So let me give that to you now. Get out your pens, your pencils, your computers, your iPhones, whatever it is. You can call this number. It's a Skype-in number, 954-828-2977. And you could also write me at askandrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Write me with your questions, your concerns, anything that you want. I really want to hear from you, and I want it to be all about you. Again, it's the phone number, the Skype-in number is 954-828-2977. And anybody that gets on, we'll give a free book to. Anybody that's going to be actually on the podcast episode number 50, it's only a few weeks away, about 4 weeks away, 5 weeks away. Things I want to talk to you about. I have so much to talk to you about. I also have a great guest coming on. We'll bring him on soon. We won't take too much time in the front end today, because I know whenever I talk to this guy, it ends up in some very strange areas. His name is Timothy Sykes. He is a prolific writer, blogger. He has just a knack for picking some amazing penny stocks, both on the up and the down. Former hedge fund manager, author, and I think you really enjoy him. He is not one to pull he's one to pull punches. He's not one to hold back, I should say that. But he definitely is someone who I'm looking forward to talking to, a good friend of mine, and I think that you'll enjoy him too. Before we get to him, though, I thought we'd talk about a few things. We had some great information that was released last week. We had an amazing upset. We had some ups and downs, more downs in the market. As a matter of fact, on a global basis now, the world markets are officially down. S&P 500 is down about 2%, down 2%. I think the NASDAQ's down 2.7% as of year-to-date, as of Sunday here today, when we put this out, and the general markets. I think the only thing that we really saw that was up was Japan still, and we'll see what happens next week with that. Especially as there is some concerns about a double dip in Japan that has been sprouting up along the way again. So with that in mind, there was also some topics that we needed to talk about with regard to the volatility. Did you see the VIX? Did you see what went on? Boy, the VIX about 2 weeks ago was 17. We talked about this complacency that may be creeping in. As a matter of fact, about 2 weeks ago, every Monday, we put out a piece that's called Indicators We're Watching. It covers things like the VIX. It covers sometimes the McClellan Oscillator. It covers different stochastic indicators on the S&P 500. It covers the various things like the Baltic Dry Index. Just a whole host of things, probably about 15 different charts that we put out every single Monday morning. And we talked about that caution flags and cautionary environment and setting up your shorts. 2 weeks ago, we titled it that you need to start raising your short positions and scaling back in the markets. And last week, we talked about that caution flags kept on rising. And one of the things that we had noticed also separately was that the VIX was entering a complacency zone where there really wasn't any concern about the market going down. Well, that VIX went up about, I don't know, some 75% last week to about 27. And that VIX is the basically in options that trade, and you can actually do this through ETFs now, but options that trade, and they give us this indicator of the fear or complacency or the glee, if you will, in the market. So the fear index rose up dramatically. We haven't seen this in a long time. Oil prices are under 75 now, and OPEC is now planning on, some of the countries in OPEC are planning on their budgets for next year with oil priced at 60. But probably the most amazing thing that we saw last week was that the election in Massachusetts, where words escape me to understand how the Democrats botched this up. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. We're talking about a turn of about 850,000 voters that were voting, or at least were saying they were voting for the Democratic candidate, Coakley, before the election, and they switched and voted for Brown. Brown came out victorious with a very simple, clear, and a very interesting turn that it seems was much more about the anti-establishment again, but the current establishment, even though the current administration and Obama came out and said that it was all about the Bush years, and that's what people are still, you know, caught up in this tide of changing things, I don't really believe that because there's so much outrage at what's gone on in our government and the spending and the lack of change that I think they're doing something here to really make a statement. In particular, the healthcare initiative, which has been very unclear to most people. And I think this is really a referendum, and it really states that, you know, there's more than just change needed. There needs to be action. Now, whether or not this Republican, you know, does anything differently except for put a major monkey wrench into the senatorial situation where they had the supermajority, and now they potentially could have filibuster opportunities in the Senate, and no more, or at least potentially no more, a cram down from a single party or a single party type of push. That remains to be seen. But it is clear that just very much after, very soon after this election, President Obama changed his tune and all of a sudden became on the attack of the financials, looking to gain on some of the populist interest, which has been in any form that you want to call it, but, I mean, just outrage. And, you know, then all of a sudden we had last week that happen, and there was some concern put in the markets that maybe some of the spending is going to slow. Maybe we're going to see the stimulus slow. And right at 8:01 on Tuesday night, you saw when the elections closed, the polls closed in Massachusetts, you know what you saw? You saw the dollar move up against the euro by 1.3% in a matter of an hour. Now, that's pretty amazing. Currencies usually don't, you know, they don't move that much. But when you see that kind of situation, you realize that the understanding of the world is that there isn't going to be, or at least the perception is there isn't going to be, this flagrant spending that's gone on unchecked. So that was part of the problem that started on Tuesday. Then as we got towards the end of the week, and you saw that a lot of the earnings that were coming in were, I would say, lukewarm. They were meeting EPS, but not beating on revenues, a lot of companies, and there were some real problems in the banks where they were seeing their loan loss provisions increasing, and in particular with the overhang of JP Morgan last week, that was a real problem. And when really the final straw approached on, let's say, Thursday, late Thursday into Friday, when the concern about Bernanke's reappointment, reconfirmation, was really starting to bubble through the whisper pools and the rumor mills, well, that really, you know, the markets had enough. Broke through the 50-day moving average of the S&P 500. I mean, it was just an awful day for stocks overall, and it really affected and branched out into the world. I mean, it was just a real bad situation. On top of that, let's also realize something. that the initial claims and continuing claims were really awful. The NAHB housing market indicators from the perception of the builders was awful. Some of the recent economic news has been very, very mixed. We've seen kind of one hit on the good side, one hit on the bad side. But generally speaking, I didn't feel that we saw a lot of things that were very encouraging. We're still of the frame of mind, as we wrote about in our recent economic commentary here, that we think that we're in more of a, I would call it a square root situation. We're going to see a flat top here on the recovery from an economic standpoint. We're going to continue to see the layoffs, at least the lack of hiring. And if hiring does come back, we're even more concerned about the earnings potential for companies. That being said, we think that investors really were a bit ahead of themselves, maybe not totally on every position, but ahead of themselves, and expectations by analysts flipped where they were really negative and they really undercut. Now they're overestimating the earnings for companies. That being said, we actually pulled back on many positions. We pulled back on Hong Kong about 2.5 weeks ago. We can't, you know, close the position entirely for a nice profit. We pulled back on some of our international fixed income. We also pulled back on core holdings of the TDIMG portfolio, and that was good because it saved us a good amount of grief in the last couple of weeks, because not only did the sectors move down, the markets move down, but boy, some of the individual stocks, particularly materials companies, just got hacksawed. That's the best way to describe it. It was horrible. So anyway, that's what's going on. I think that we have to realize that right now we may be entering a little bit of an oversold. There may be a bounce coming in. If the markets can believe that Bernanke, again, this is the perception of the markets and spending issues, if Bernanke actually is going to be confirmed, if the administration can get their hands around some of this healthcare issues and some of the other initiatives and put a clear message ahead, but particularly when it comes to next week, we have to see some earnings that look decent. Otherwise, you know what? Be careful to put more money, significant money, to work in these markets before we hit some very, very significant support, because we really broke through a lot of that. Broke through the 1,100 support number on the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, and we also broke on the small caps. The Russell 2000 broke through support once again. I mean, not once again, but they also broke through, and this is the first time we've seen that in some time. So you need to be careful right now. You don't want to do anything that is stupid, frankly, and you want to make sure that you have your antennas up for any other issues that really come to pass when it comes to these markets right now. And, you know, just be careful. There's always time to get back in. And I think that the most important thing is to realize that markets will be volatile. You know, we're seeing a lot of incredible rise. You know, I think the most important thing now is to realize that markets go both ways here. I mean, we've seen only really one direction besides a little bit of a blip there in July last year after the March 6th or 7th start of this rally. And we can see a real turn here if there's an expectation that there may be some downside of the economy moving in the future. If we're really seeing a pullback in stimulus here and, you know, abroad, what happens if China continues to increase their interest rates and slows down that incredible economic superpower? So those are the things that are going on. I think that what we'll do now is we'll bring in my friend Tim Sykes and talk with him about some of the things that are going on in his world, the penny stock world. Find out how he's investing, what's going on there. And again, let me just give you those numbers that if you want to Skype in and you want to be a part of the episode 150, the call-in show, here it is, 954-828-2977, or ask Andrew at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Again, that's 954-828-2977. You know, I like to bring people that I really not only enjoy, but I really respect. And you may know him, you may not know him. This is a good friend of mine. His name is Timothy Sykes, and he has a great story. He has a background in investing. He invests currently. He has a couple of subscription services that are out that help people with penny stocks, primarily really taking a hard stance against the pump and dumpers, and we'll get to that with him. He also has a new site out, which I'm not going to tell you what the name is yet. He's going to tell you. It's premiering, and it's you're going to really enjoy what it is. It's all about investing. And he has a book out, et cetera. So we've known him for a while. We've had him on the show before. He is not one to be quiet. He is not one that is shy. And we'll bring him on back. Mr. Sykes, how are you?
How's it going, man?
It's going great. You sound like you're laid back. You're sitting back counting your money, or what are you doing?
I am. I'm sitting on my couch counting my money. I'm doing pretty good. I'm the six-figure-a-month blogger, and now nice. I got trying to bring the money to the poor people, too, like Robin Hood.
Oh, hey, listen, nobody ever said that you weren't charitable. They've said a lot of things about you, I can tell you that.
I have a scholarship at Tulane. I give back.
All right, that's good. So let's talk a little bit about who you are, because a lot of people that you know may have not heard you before. And let me just give a quick background, and then I'll ask you a couple of questions. So you originally started out way back when. The story goes that you had some money from your bar mitzvah, and you parlayed that after you pretty much held your parents hostage to give you the money when you turned 18, I believe it was. And you parlayed that into a couple of $1 million and then opened a hedge fund. And boy, there's a lot that goes in between there, but that's the general story.
That's it.
That's the story.
Turned a few thousand into a few million, learned many more lessons losing a third of it. Now I'm back number one on Covestor out of 45,000 investors now over the past 2 years.
So what does that mean, though? Roots. Covestor, we've had the guys on from Covestor. What does it actually mean to be first, though? What do you have to do?
I disclose all my trades and investments openly, and I went back to my initial $12,415 in November of 2007 with a goal of repeating my feat and detailing every single trade along the way on my blog, timothysykes.com. So now 2 years in, I basically turned $12,000 into $115,000. So that makes me, you know, nearly 10 times your money, makes me the number one ranked trader out of 45,000 on Covestor. Although a lot of people are not on Covestor, I'm pushing more for transparency. I'm all about transparency because obviously what I've done is real. I've detailed it, and most people, they just don't. Most people in finance are marketers. They're not actual traders or investors, and that sickens me. And it should sicken you.
Yeah, well, it I'm getting a little bit. I'm getting a little sick. We can keep talking. I'll get more, maybe sicker.
No, everyone needs to be so sick, and you just got to be like network, and you got to be like, I'm mad as heck, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
So we pretty much have to be nauseous investors. That's pretty what, you know, not feeling good, having like a bit of an investor seasickness at all times when we're looking at a lot of the crooks that are out there.
Nauseous and cowardly. I cannot stress being a coward trader or coward investor enough. I know it's like goes against everyone's like, oh, I want to put up real money. I want to make big money. If you trade cowardly, especially with this market that's really, you know, whipsawing, cowards do better. And it's just good to be a coward. That's my thing. And so if someone stops me on the street and says, you're a coward, and I said, thank you. Are you?
So this is the Wizard of Oz. You're not the guy that doesn't have a brain. You're not the guy that doesn't have a heart, because really those not. But be the cowardly lion. That's the summation of this discussion when it comes to
investment. That is it. You know, and I trade penny stocks, and so I'm like, I try and trade them conservatively, and I know that's confuses a lot of people, but that's how I've stayed in the game and how I've done well over.
So let me ask you this about penny stocks, because I find the world of penny stocks is let's really be honest. The world of penny stocks is not your traditional investment universe. It's entirely separate, segregated. It's something that needs to be put aside, because really there's a lot of things that go on in that universe that aren't on the up and up, number one. Number two, you can't really tell as much about the stocks. You can't do as much fundamental analysis. You can't do much technical. Oftentimes what you're doing is you're looking at pump and dumps in your circumstance. You're looking at where the PR reps are really pushing things, where people are sending out just blanket faxes and they're sending out emails and you're getting calls and tips and things like that. And you're working both sides of it to figure out, hey, when can we buy this to go long when it's being pumped, and then go short when it's being dumped, right?
It's a zoo. And, you know, I'm much better at exposing the frauds and the scams. You know, when someone gets paid $700,000 to pump up a stock, when that $700,000 could have gone into the company to make it a better company, you have to wonder, why are they not giving the money to the company? Why are they giving it to a stock promoter who's going to send out like 2 million emails? Maybe the company isn't what they say it is. Maybe the company is a fraud. And so I short stocks. I try and buy sometimes too, but these things can just collapse like in your hands too quickly. And me being a coward trader, I can't have that on my record. So I'm much more comfortable shorting penny stocks. And I believe that if you learn the game, it's actually less risky to short them, because, you know, 999 out of 1,000 penny stocks will be worthless within 5 years.
What is your qualification? What's your qualification for a penny stock? Tell me what that means.
You know, some people say under $5, under $2. I basically say under $5. Sometimes these penny stocks can go from like 5 cents to like $10. I can count on one hand, in all the years that I've been trading, 11 years, there's only been one real penny stock that's become a real company, and it's True Religion Jeans. They used to be a penny stock scam based out of Vancouver, and guess what? The jeans actually took off and they made it. That's the only company that I know of that used to send out advertisements and emails and faxes to promote themselves, and it turned into a real company because they did raise enough money. Every other penny stock in the entire world has gone bust or been halted by the SEC or, you know, is trading at like 2 cents a share.
So one of my favorite stories about these penny stocks are when, you know, you get these bogus faxes. I get them all the time. Not because I'm an investment advisor or anything like that, but because this is what happens. And you get this bogus fact that looks like somebody scribbled something on it about it being a great deal, and it's some kind of a newspaper article, and you know, you get it in your fax machine, and it look almost looks like you got it by mistake. You know, that so it was there, some inside deal.
That's a common scam. There was another one where they would pretend to be somebody else on your voicemail, and they would say, like, oh, you know, if I was leaving a voicemail for you, I have the list. You know, they have these huge call lists,
right,
and they pay like $2 or $5 per lead. And so they know they're calling Andrew Horowitz, but they'll say, hey, Jim, I got this great stock tip. I can't tell anybody, but I'm telling you because you're my best friend. So buy this stock at you know, 5 cents. I think it's going to go to a dollar. And so they do that, and they hire these people, and they have copywriters, and they have a whole script, and it's sick, and it's deceptive, and it's beautiful because it's predictable, because the people that are doing these scams, you know, they have the intelligence level of Forrest Gump, and, you know, it's not the movies. Things don't always work out well when you're that dumb.
Right.
And so I, you know, just a few weeks ago, I busted 4 pump and dumps in a row. All 4 were halted by the SEC. SpongeTech, everyone knew about SpongeTech. They were advertising at the Major League Baseball fields. They were advertising at the U.S. Open. And they were a complete scam. And the New York Post did a whole article 6 months after I dug into them. So, you know, you just have to do your research. And I believe that there's predictable profits. It's not scalable. People say, okay, so you have a great strategy. Why are you teaching everybody? It's not scalable. I can make a few thousand here. I might make 10,000 maximum here. But you know what it comes down to is that it's small, predictable gains. I'm never going to make $1 billion shorting a penny stock.
Well, that brings up something. So now let's say that you have a whole army of people doing this. Does that it could do one of two things. It could really, truly, if you're saying this is a great stock to buy, why, you know, how does that, not that I'm going to throw this right in your face, but how does that differentiate you from the guys that are saying the same thing on the other side? I mean, they're just trying to make money for the guys that are playing on their side of the game, right? You know, what makes – I never really thought of it this way, so forgive me, but I'm just thinking of it now. If you say to short a stock, what's the difference between you and a promoter?
It's a good point. You know, some people would call me a stock demoter instead of a stock promoter. you know, the difference is that, A, I'm not using ridiculous lies. You know, a lot of these stocks, they say Buffett is betting on coal. This company is sitting on $700 billion worth. So they're just making up ridiculous numbers to try and push the stock up. You know, if a stock is at a dollar, they push it. They say $20 price target just to try and give people, you know, the thought that it's going to surge exponentially. And oftentimes, sometimes it does. The difference with me is I say, okay, why I'm shorting this is because there's manipulation going on. The price targets are all irrelevant. Look at the disclaimers. Secondly, there's not that many shares to short. You can, if I was a promoter, I would be a billionaire. I guarantee you I would be the best stock promoter in the world. If I wanted to just, you know, throw in my soul, you know, end up in the underworld, know that I'm ripping off senior citizens by the dozen and not care, I could do that. But instead, I want to teach the truth, and the truth is not as easy to teach. You know, how do I teach something? How do you say bet against this stock that's at a dollar? You know, everyone thinks if a stock is at a dollar, well, there's so much upside. They don't understand that there's millions of shares flooding the market, and that's what these pump and dumps are. And the problem is, even when these stocks trade 1 million or 5 million shares, like this stock, AENY, which was up, I've been using lots of examples from their promotion. I'm currently short this stock at 420. It's up from 25 cents up to $5. You know, $700,000 was paid in a promotional mailer. They say Buffett is investing in coal, so this company is worth billions. So far, the Dow Jones Newswire and the streetsweeper.org have written articles about how one of the people on their board is a convicted criminal. He just pled guilty to tax evasion. So, you know, I try and expose the facts, and I'm only short 1,500 shares. That's all I could find to short.
Right.
And out of all my subscribers, you know, I have like 1,700 paying subscribers, probably 2 or 3 dozen found shares to short. So there's limited, you know, demotion. It's more about just teaching people how to work and how to avoid the scams. You know, some of the people that I've made the most money, they were involved and invested in SpongeTech, and they got out because of me, because I was saying, look at SpongeTech. They're paying all these promoters. And they took huge profits. They got in early, but they were lucky, you know. So there's actually more money to be made buying these things than shorting them, but you have to understand how the game works. And that's where I come
in. So one of the places that I find, you know, there's a lot of different ways where you can find some of this, but just get some ideas on some of these. You know, FinViz has a front page that almost shows all of the penny stocks, because those are the ones that move in a dramatic way on a daily basis. And you see things that are up 40%, down 40%, whatever it is. So I look at FinViz for seeing what's going on with penny stocks. We don't trade in those because we obviously, you know, can't only just do 1,500 shares of something. You know, we're buying something, we're buying it.
Yeah.
And but that's one place, and I know that you use some other places. But, you know, I think that do you do this? Do you go and look for example, promoter ABC and track what they're doing, because you know they're a promoter that does these kind of things?
Oh, definitely.
That's a cool thing to do, right?
Pennystockchaser.com is one of the hottest promoters right now.
Really?
He's advertising.
Is that his name?
I hope he's not advertising on your thing. But
yeah, this show is sponsored by Pennystockchaser.net.
he advertises on Sirius Satellite Radio. He gets paid 300,000, 500,000, sometimes even a million shares of stock. And this, you know, he gets the stock up from like a quarter to like $3. You know, you get 500,000 shares of a stock at $3, you're doing all right, that he can sell immediately, which he does. It's pump and dump. So I love him. I love pennypick.com. All of them are listed. There's some new websites that really track these promoters. Stockpromoters.com and stockreads.com are some great tools where you can actually see all of them. I actually have a list on my Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, my Twitter name is Timothy Sykes. You can see one of my lists. It's called Soulless Stock Promoters. And you can see 50 different stock promoters and their picks every single day. And it's not a coincidence that it's the same five or six stocks. So with my new site, you know, I'm also, I don't know if we're ready to unveil.
Oh, wait, hold on. Ding. Nice. You have a new site. Was that good? You like that?
That was actually
a professionally done sound effect that brought in just for you. So yeah, you have a new site out, because the old site was I shouldn't say the old site. Your TimothySykes.com site is all about penny stocks and about subscriptions and Tim Alerts and all these really cool things that people can, you know, get free and paid for understanding and learning about penny stocks, but also learning how to short and find you know, where the promoters are, and then also get tips, if you will, from you. So this new thing is a new venture for you entirely. I mean, it's still related to investing, but this is totally new, right?
Yeah, you know, it's called investimonials.com. It's basically TripAdvisor or Yelp for the world of online finance. You can rate brokers, newsletters, websites, DVDs, commentators, blogs. We're adding products every day. Right now, we have about 4,000 products listed. And it's just trying to create transparency. So you see a website like Penny Stock Chaser. You know, I created this site because I see so much manipulation. I see so many sales sheets. And so you see somebody like Penny Stock Chaser who's advertising on the radio, and you're like, his last pick was up 300%. And you're like, wow, that maybe I should follow this guy. He's not going to tell you I was also compensated 500,000 shares of every single one of these stocks that I promoted. So Investimonials is user reviews, and we just launched in the last month. We already have 1,300 registered users. And it's just about people providing reviews, like, how was this broker? I like TD Ameritrade. I don't like ShareBuilder. You know, stuff like that. And I think eventually it's a long-term project. You know, it's kind of like Wikipedia. But we're going to find out which are the best financial products and which are the scams and the scumbags. So I'm very excited. It's not just penny stocks. It's the entire world of finance. And I think that if we get more rankings, you know, there's so much noise. I mean, everybody is so used to these emails where they get these offers like save 50% now. Here's right. a free bonus right. with my DVD and all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then there's their website has like three testimonials, and they have like a picture of this guy in front of a house with like a girl in the bikini and like a Lamborghini. And they're like, this could be you. And, you know, people actually fall for right. it. And it's really sad. So we kind of want to be like Ripoff Report, you know, and expose the frauds.
So is the Disciplined Investor podcast on the site? Because I don't even know that.
We haven't added podcast yet, but the Disciplined Investor book is in our top 20.
Oh, nice.
Books out of 900 books that we have listed. People nice. Really like it. I like it. It's very good.
Great. You don't like the mustache though, huh?
The mustache, you know, it's look at one of the reviews. One of the reviews actually talks about your mustache.
Oh.
The cool thing is that the products – the product reviews can help influence the product designers. Like, you know, we're talking with Thinkorswim and they see 45 reviews on Thinkorswim and they say, wait a minute, there's some three negative ones. Thinkorswim is one of our top rated brokers. I'm an affiliate. I love them to death. I use and recommend them, but they have like three negative ones. So we're talking with Thinkorswim and they're like, oh, this is some good customer feedback. So we want people to leave reviews so that you can actually change the products. You know, you can actually make Andrew Horowitz shave that.
No, I did. No. That's a true story. I did. It shaved.
I know.
Oh, but, yeah. That was all because of your subscribers.
But maybe it could have been earlier shaved.
You know, you can prevent these. And it really could have really propelled. Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. So the book wouldn't have had the mustache on it when I had it for like 20 years. And it maybe could have propelled me to a whole different level of success.
Exactly. Who knows? Like, instead of just a little podcast, you could have a TV show.
I could own a radio, a whole station.
Because of the mustache, you're forced to hide your face on radio.
Right, and, versus TV.
I don't think it's that bad of a face. I think you should have a TV show.
No, it's not that bad. No, it's not that bad. There's definitely worse.
It's a beautiful face. But you need to, like, you know, listen to the readers, listen to your listeners. Like, once we have the Disciplined Investor podcast, it's going up tonight. So by the time this podcast airs, it will be on there for people to review. So, you know, we'll see what the reader feedback.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Well, they're not going to like my voice and my nasal Jewish sound or something now, I'm sure. But listen, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, in terms of these markets and all, and in terms of, I know that you have gone against the establishment in many times. And, you know, you've kind of called out Bernanke and Geithner and Paulson and all these guys. Do you think anything is getting better?
What is the establishment, first of all? Let me ask you that. You know, the same guys who got us into this mess are pretty much still...
Let's say this. Let me say this. Maybe not the establishment. Let's say the current administration that has been placed in, you know, in the last year, whether or not they were here or not, but the people that have stayed or been appointed by Obama and the Congress and whoever it is, what do you think about the whole grouping?
You know, I don't like what's going on. I look around. You know, I talk to people. I have lots of readers and things don't seem to be getting better. You know, I think that it was an artificial kind of bottom, and, you know, obviously you have to do that. If you're the government, you have to try and avoid, you know, economic calamity. But to say spend your money right now, the country needs it, you know, I mean, it's just tough. And I think credit cards are very underestimated. You know, it's going to be a lot more difficult to get credit cards, and the whole country runs on credit cards. So if you look at this over the next few years, we're in very big trouble. And we think things are getting better. You know, the stock market is pricing things getting better. But every single rich person I talk to, you know, I'm just a penny stock guy, so I have a few opinions, but I prefer to listen to people who run billion-dollar hedge funds. And the billion-dollar hedge fund people, they're not happy. You know, they're saying this is very dangerous. So, you know, is the recent market drop of, what, 5% the beginning of the end? Is this whole bounce just a dead cat bounce? You know, it's far too soon. I like to stick to my predictable, manipulative games. You know, it's much easier to predict criminals than it is to try and predict the economy of a 300-plus million person country. You know, it's
which, like, is so intertwined with billions of people in hundreds of different countries.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has their opinion. Like, I'm talking to like 2,000 people, maybe 3,000 people online. You know, is that really a big enough data set? Do I know economics? Yes, but have I learned that?
You know what I also found when it comes to blogs and podcasts and things like that, you know, a lot of times you attract people who are in that frame of mind anyway. You know, people that are, you know, people that are real negative on the government maybe are not going to read a negative government blog. They will read that. They're not going to read the positive stuff, which, by the way, I always say as an investor, you have to read both sides. If you don't read both sides, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble because you get yourself in that quarry where you don't think about anything else but what it is. I have a client that I know very well, and he calls me all the time about the employment situation, how bad it is. And I said, okay, that's fine. I understand that. But don't let cloud your entire thinking about what's going on. There are other areas. While it's very important, while it's extremely this, but you know what? It there may be some opportunities that you're glossing over because you're so fixated on that.
I agree 100%. You just have to take in all the data. You know, you throw out a lot of it because there is so much data and so many guessing. You know, and you have websites, useless websites like Sucking Alpha that I just absolutely hate, and you know, Motley Fool, where they rip on penny stocks and then they spam you to death with titles called. Have you seen Motley Fool?
Let me say something about their titles. In a study of marketing, their titles are excellent. And I say this in marketing. I'm not talking about truth yet for a moment, okay?
Oh, I agree. They should be penny stock promoters.
Yeah, they're unbelievable because
they actually are. Yeah. They take money from penny stock promoters.
You know, how many times are they going to say the next 10 bagger? Or, you know,
the next $1 million penny stock.
Right, exactly. Like exactly. It's terrible.
And they wouldn't publish a review of my book because my book exposes this. So it's kind of tough to be a whistleblower when the entire industry, you know, the online finance industry exists because of stock promoters. Stock promoters like Penny Stock Chaser pay a lot more for banner ads and clicks than, you know, VectorVest. Not saying that much about VectorVest, but I'm just saying these penny stock promoters have so much money because it's shady money. And, you know, we really have to be careful, I think. That's something I will talk about. Forget about the economy. I'll talk about the online finance industry where you have so much content and so many ads and so many offers and people are confused. And this is what led me to create Investimonials because like it's just like noise and pollution, and it's just we need to sort through it and we need to rank it or else it's going to overwhelm everybody and people are just going to be like,
listen,
I don't want
to. Tim, we know people, we know both of us. I know for a fact because you and I have talked about this. We know people that start websites just for the advertising. Now, that's fine. That's what it's all about. There's nothing different with a magazine. There's nothing different with TV or radio. It's all about the advertising. But they're setting up these financial websites that just culminate information and just splatter these ads all over them.
It's different.
It's annoying.
than you know, Hollywood gossip or you know, shows about doctors and lawyers. I mean, this is, you're giving people financial advice, and obviously all of our disclaimers say we're not giving advice, we're just for entertainment purposes only. But people are gullible, especially greedy people. And so when you have companies like Motley Fool where they're saying this could make you a millionaire, and you have this kind of manipulative marketing because they want your subscription dollars, I have very big issues with that because, come on, how much is a subscription really worth? Okay, so if you buy a subscription to any one of these newsletters, everyone's learned that a dollar a day works. So you're spending $300, $400 a year on a newsletter. The point is, though, is that lots of these newsletters are absolute crap. There's no rankings. Right now, all you have is a few pictures. You have a few reviews. You don't really know. You can't judge one versus another.
Doesn't Holbert do that?
You have Holbert Digest. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Sorry.
Beautiful man. So he talks about performance. He's been doing it for decades. That's great. He covers newsletters. But there's also, you know, some of the worst newsletters in the world, some of the worst performing, they're very educational. You know, lots of people just want ideas. They don't even care how the picks perform. Most people, like my subscribers, namely, where they can't borrow shares, not saying that my subscribers are bad performing, but I'm saying that most of them don't even do the trades. They just want to learn. They want content.
Yeah.
So that's what a lot of these things are. The problem that I see is that you have misinformation and you have marketing information, and that gets people in the wrong state of mind. And this is why 90 to 95% of traders lose money. And what is it? 70% of mutual fund managers can't even beat the S&P 500.
And that's their goal, by the way. That's their goal. You know, when we invest with clients, that's not our goal, you know, to necessarily beat the S&P. That we don't even have that because we find that just creates a really bad environment. And if you're trying to beat the S&P or be the S&P, just go buy an ETF that's the S&P anyway.
Exactly.
What's the difference? But I want to take a break for 1 second. I want to talk to you about Audible.com because they're a great sponsor of the show. And
I love Audible.
Don't you like Audible?
I really do, actually. Great, right? I used to own their stock, and now my book is on Audible, too.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that. So, you know, Audible has like 35 or 40,000 titles you can choose from and download it and play back anywhere. What's great for people who listen to podcasts, they like it because obviously you listen to podcasts, you have your iPhone, you have your MP3 player, you have whatever it is. And the nice thing is that by listening to this show, and you can actually go and try it if you haven't tried it yet, you can go to Audible, write this down, audiblepodcast.com/investor. And you know, I always listen to different books when I have time. I'll be honest with you, I don't always have time. I'm doing a lot of writing on the blog. I'm doing a lot of reading on here. I'm doing a lot of listening to that. And when I have chance, when I go away or when on the weekends, I listen to Audible books. What also is really nice, if you're a runner, if you're a walker, they have subscriptions to like the Wall Street Journal and to various newspapers and magazines where you can get them automatically downloaded to you and you can listen to them as you go. And as Tim was mentioning, you know, his book is on there, and this is interesting because actually my book, we put them on about the same time, didn't we? You and I together?
Yes, we did. Right, my book is An American Hedge Fund. Your book is The Disciplined Investor.
Right.
They're both good books.
So if you want to get a copy of that and you want to find out about Tim's drunken and rantings, taking his fund up and down, you don't mind me saying that, do you?
No, it's the truth. Brutal honesty, baby. That's what it's about. That's why you should have your own like URL. It should be like audible.com/mustache. And it should be all your stuff.
That should be good. That would be it. Because people identify me with a mustache. Nothing else, really.
Let me work on your branding.
Will you do that? I think
we can get that done. And you can be the mustache man.
You know what I could do? I could make my eyelashes look like mustache. I mean, this could be a whole transformation.
No, you're taking it the wrong way.
Really?
I'm just saying, you know, just brand yourself. The Discipline Investor, you know, it's good. It's a good message, but, you know, it's not unique. Like,
how about this? How about this? Ready? How about
this? The mustache man.
The mustache investor.
The mustache investor?
No. The mustache trader.
Markets. I don't know. Something with mustache. You got to play with that. I'll get back to you. You know, ask the Motley Fool. They're great at marketing.
Stock
stash. They'll say like the next $1 million mustache.
Oh, I hear you. Oh, yeah, that's nice. Oh, I understand. I could see the different logos too. It could be really interesting. Anyway, if you want to get a copy of my book, and you can get it for free, and anybody could do so, this great offer. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/investor, and you can get a copy of my book, or which is The Disciplined Investor, of course. And with my book, you also get a download. You see the different charts and the technicals and all the things that go along with it, so you can follow along. Or you can get Tim's book, which is An American Hedge Fund, a great story of rags to riches, back to a little bit, not rags, but back down off of the riches a little bit, and explains how he got a little too cocky, some of the things happened in the end, and how he actually made his money along the way from just a few pennies, a little knipple that he had for his bar mitzvah, and the gelt he got from there, and how he turned it into millions of dollars in a hedge fund that he built as a young man. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to go through with you just for a second, because I want to get back, is you mentioned something about, I think you, what do you call it, sucking alpha. You know, a lot of people call it seeking average, okay, rather than seeking alpha. What do you have a problem with, except for the fact that there are a lot of people without any credentials on there that don't disclose positions? Now, we write, and they automatically take what we write onto their site, which is fine with me. We get a lot of hits. We get a lot of exposure. That's great. That's fine. We don't do anything original for them, and I don't think we're losing out to anything I can speak of. But what we do all the time is, on every single post, we demand that there is a disclosure, a disclaimer, that we may own positions in any of the things that we talk about in any post that we put up. So and I think that's a real problem, that probably isn't done as much as it should be.
Well, let me tell you. So, you know, seeking average is a compliment, because then you're saying that your returns are actually average.
Okay.
You know, I think your returns are below average. I'll cite two examples where, you know,
I'm not saying my. Are you saying my returns or their returns?
Their returns.
Their returns.
They're sucking alpha.
Sucking
okay?
alpha. Oh, sucking alpha. Right.
Yeah. I mean, they're so. This one guy. You know. Again, you pointed out the two biggest problems where you don't have to disclose your position. Okay, so you say you're short or you're long. How big is your position?
Right.
I'm on Covestor. I'm disclosing my entire position, my entry price, my exit price. You see my track record. One guy wrote about Diedrich Coffee, DDRX.
Oh, I know
just
that one.
Dismantling the company, saying it's a horrible company. It's horribly overpriced. You click on his bio. He's an analyst for a hedge fund. He's short the stock. We don't know how many shares he's short. We just know that his hedge fund is short. The stock drops from 27 down to 18 because of his horrendous article, okay? In a few days, he really, like, took it apart, like every single accounting trick. Next day, Diedrich Coffee gets a buyout offer at $26.
Yeah, I remember that.
Stock pops again, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So all those people who got squeezed out because of his article are now out of the stock, and then there's a bidding war. The bidding war actually goes to 30, 32, then 35. So Diedrich Coffee, without his article, would have gone nicely from 26 to 35, right?
Uh-huh.
Instead, he screwed thousands of investors out. We don't know who he is. We don't know his hedge fund. We don't know their position. We don't know if they covered into this. That's one nasty thing. Another thing, Jim Van Meerten. He writes for, Sucking Alpha, MSN Money.
All right, hold on. Back off a second. I happen to know this guy. Do you remember? Do you know how I know him? And I'm not saying anything about Jim. Jim is, I'm not saying anything. This is all Tim right now.
It's all me. I'll take credit for it.
Do you know why? How I know Tim? Do you remember how I know Jim?
I don't know how.
Do you remember he was in the MSN Money competition with me?
He was the amateur.
Do you remember who won?
You won the MSN contest. Van Meerten did not, and I'll tell you probably why. Because
why?
I think he is a stock promoter.
Come on.
And I have written an article about him. He has denied it. But within 2 days, within 2 weeks, he picked two stocks that had been promoted by the same exact group, NXT Nutritionals, NXTH, and ClearRight, which is CLRT. Both stocks went up every single day, just 5 or 10 cents a day for 2 weeks at a time. And then both stocks crashed 50% on the same day. Okay? It's a pump and dump. This is how pump and dumps operate. If you looked at all the promotional mailers, you got Fox News, Charles Payne. Do you know Charles Payne? Do you know he's a stock promoter?
I know you had a, we won't call it a vendetta. We'll call it a, you had a Charlie Payne bashing party, I heard.
I've had 7 blog posts. It is amazing to me that this Fox News contributor is a blatant penny stock promoter getting paid to promote these stocks. He's gotten paid thousands of dollars. He already has an SEC record. He settled with the SEC for $25,000. He did that actually, that voicemail scam that we were talking about. Charlie Payne did that over a decade ago, and he didn't admit or deny guilt. He just paid $25,000 to make it go away, except the PDF is online forever. And now he's back at the stock promotion game. So I take offense to, you know, national news networks that are giving exposure to these stock promoters and making people believe that they're credible. And then when he has this long sales page on postcrashgains.com, and then he has, investingafterthecrash.com, these totally marketing, manipulative, beautifully deceptive pages, websites, where he gets paid, and the whole thing is just an advertisement. And then if you read the disclaimer, he says that he's gotten paid this, you know, I think it was like $23,000 worth of,
to advertise.
Yeah. That's what stock promoters do. They don't care about their picks. They just want a story that they can advertise, and then they can get paid to advertise it.
So let me, from the don't get me started door, you mentioned the whole idea of mainstream media and stock promotion, all that. So I'm probably opening up a can of worms here. What do you think about Cramer?
Bring it, baby.
Come on. What do you think about Mr. Cramer?
He's not a stock promoter. No, his track record sucks. He should write for Sucking Alpha. I think he does.
He may.
You know, Jim Van Meerten has a very bad track record too. But what interests me with Jim Van Meerten is that he picked these two stocks 2 days before both of them crashed. So I think he was like brought in as reserves. He says he hasn't been compensated. I got to believe his word, you know. But he's either the unluckiest guy or the dumbest guy to pick these two stocks that are promoted by the same promoters. And he picks them after they've gone up 20 days in a row. And his articles, all they did was take a Yahoo summary of what the company does and then saying that his technical scan picked them up. What kind of freaking technical scan picks up a stock after it's been up 20 days in a row? You don't have a technical scan that picks it up after it's up 3 days in a row, okay? I mean, it's just ridiculous to me to say that, you know, and he's saying bar chart, and he says in the article, these are very speculative. And, all these promoters say these are very speculative, always use stop losses. Stop losses don't protect you in penny stocks. They get destroyed. Yeah. And, you know, it's just misinformation that gets me. And I thank Jim Van Meerten. I thank Charlie Payne. I thank all these people like Jim Cramer who, you know, they try and make more money because they always want to paint a rosy picture. And they have created investimonials. And, you know, long past my little lifetime, investimonials is going to live on. And there's going to be a public track record of every single customer these people have ever screwed over or ever done good. You know, there's going to be a few financial commentators who are going to be like, you know what, Andrew Horowitz, he had a bad mustache, but he's always made me money.
Oh, right. We're back to that again. Oh, we keep coming around to that. I don't know where that goes. You know what? Now that you hit me a few times, let's get to the reason why I wanted to talk to you.
I have a goatee right now. I haven't been outside in 5 days.
Really? So I hope you change your clothes. But anyway, listen,
clothes? I work in my boxers, buddy.
Oh, this is a horrible thought. Horrible. Listen, so, you know, I know that I wanted to talk to you about a few different things, but, you know, the truth of the matter is the savior in your life, the better part of your life, the do-gooder, the real person that brings heart and soul to your life is not anything to do with you. It's your girl.
Yes.
Right?
Delilah, my girlfriend Delilah is my better half.
You're Delilah, I got to tell you, every time I see her, you know what I say? What is she doing with him? What in the world? How did this happen? But no, seriously, beautiful girl, love her. And
I'll tell you right now, she's down in Kenya.
I know. So tell me about this. This is really cool. Tell me about this.
She started her own charity. It's called careforkenya.org. She's going to help Kenyan business people and Kenyan orphans. And she already has a fashion line. It's debuting at New York Fashion Week this coming February, where she partnered with some New York fashion designers. And the clothes are actually getting made in Kenya with Kenyan materials by these, you know, little women who have AIDS, and they're literally making these clothes from scratch. And so, like, the money from this clothing line is actually going to pay their rent and pay for their food and pay for their children's schooling.
Wow. First of all, I don't even want to know what your place looks like without her there. It must be a disaster.
It's a little messy. My mom used to clean my place, but now she refuses to, and Delilah's not here. So I got my buddy Greg here who helped design investimonials, but he doesn't like cleaning. So
you got to keep the windows open in your place. You know what I'm saying? Because it's got to get a little cluttered. Then.
But, you know, there's some old sushi, and, you know, it's...
This is painting a great picture. Now, speaking of which, how's she doing down there, though? I mean, she's been down there for a while. What's going on? I mean,
she's been down there the entire month of January. You know, she's never been to a third world country like this before. So she's down in Kenya. She's learning a lot. She's seeing, you know, a whole bunch of just not so pretty things. I mean, Slumdog Millionaire is Hollywoodized. You know, right. It's actually a lot worse. So, you know, she's going to come back a stronger and wiser person, and hopefully make me, you know, more compassionate. Cause I, you know,
how could that be more compassionate?
I won compassionate penny stock trader of the year, 2006, 2007, but 2008, 2009, I didn't win, you know, Charles Payne won it. Because he was very compassionate about his, manipulation and deception.
So why don't you tell us why you didn't go down to Kenya?
I was going to go.
Yeah, but why didn't you go?
Researching the internet, and the internet is not, you know, they don't have any high speed internet. And she says, I mean, I talk to her every few days, but the power goes down for 2 days. Come on, I'm trying to track people like Jim Van Meeren. I can't be 2 days behind, you know. Van Meeren has those, if you look at his picture, Google Jim Van Meeren, you look at those eyes, he has the eyes of a tiger. Yeah. You know, he's ready to strike. And Charles Payne, you know, he's like a big bear. Yeah. And so I gotta combat these wild animals. Hmm. So I gotta be on my game all the time. I'm like a hunter.
I gotta tell you something. You know, when I turn back into Mustache Man, I'm gonna stay away from you because I know you're gonna be hunting that mustache animal. You know,
I'm hunting, but yeah. I'm hunting people. You know that have something to hide. I'm only going out. I'm trying to keep everything fair and clean. You know, because I'm full transparency. You know, I'm looking at my old sushi right now, and I'm wishing that I had taken it out. I'm wishing that I didn't bring it up. But you know, that's what life is. That's why it's beautiful, because there are bad things and there are good things, and we shouldn't be afraid to share them. Except in finance, you have this sugar-coated, motley fool, manipulative, sucking alpha marketing BS, and it hurts investors and traders because they get a skewed view of the investment universe.
So let me go back to what have we learned? Let's see what we've learned. We've learned that, you know, keeping a current look is good. We've learned that there's a lot of, as you say, scumbags that are involved in the penny stock manipulation environment. We've learned that it's good to be transparent. It's good to tell people when you have rotting sushi in your apartment. It's good to really expose.
It's not rotting. It just smells kind of funny.
No, okay. So, all right. We could use it for bait. Maybe you can go fishing.
I mean, I had it last night. It's not like 2 days old.
So it's 1 day old.
It's delicious.
Delicious. It could be good. Maybe it's like wine. It gets better with age.
Right. It's not even 18 hours.
Mm, okay. So we've learned that there are people out there that will dupe you without your knowledge, without exposing what they own, and you have to be very careful about that. We've learned that you can't always read a book by its cover. Just because a website looks like it's a great website, it may not be. And because the stock is moving up, there may be some things behind it that are problematic. We learned that there's an opportunity to utilize a ranking rating slash... a discussion site that will give you insight into financial products called Investimonials, which is very much like a Yelp or like a TripAdvisor, which I love TripAdvisor, by the way. And those are all brought to you by Tim Sykes, the compassionate trader.
I'm going for compassionate man of the year 2010. I think as Investimonials, people start to say, okay, so we already have 3,000 reviews after a month. We're probably going to need like 50,000 reviews before we really start to become useful. You know, some brokers have like 40 or 50 reviews. Most products mm-hmm. only have like 5 reviews.
Right.
So I'm asking your listeners to help me out, you know, help review products. I'm not saying like give anybody good or bad or anything, just tell us, be honest. You know, mm-hmm. it shouldn't be that difficult to be honest in finance, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be honest.
Well, we're going to put the link to the website and the information, of course, on the show notes when you go to thedisciplinedinvestor.com, and we'll make sure to tweet it. By the way, I saw that you have more Twitter followers than I have, and that's a bad thing. Listen, my audience right now, I'm not kidding, go to Twitter. You could definitely go to Tim Sykes. Let me get Timothy Sykes on Twitter. What's your exact name on Twitter?
I'm Timothy Sykes. Don't even follow me on Twitter. No, you know, half my tweets are marketing. You know, I may not be manipulative, but I'm persistent.
Oh, you are.
So I would not, I don't would not follow, follow me on Twitter.
But follow me, because all the things that we post, the podcast, the different things on the website, All the comments and commentary that we write, it always comes up first on Twitter. That's Andrew Horowitz. Let's see if we can get above this guy over here. And we'll make sure to put the Investimonials information on the website so that you can get that, as well as the offer to get the free book. If you want to learn more about this and get the free offer from audible.com, it's audiblepodcast.com/investor, and that will
I'm giving
you
away 10 books.
Where are you doing that?
Because Dalila has encouraged me to be more philanthropic, and I'm going to give 10 books
to who?
At my own cost away to your readers or your listeners, because, you know, I want to be Compassionate Man of the Year.
How are they going to get that?
Well, you're going to give me their, you know, they're going to contact you if they're interested in getting my book for
really?
Free. And you're going to give me the addresses of 10 lucky winners. I'm going to ship them out personally. I'm going to autograph them.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm going to
But how are they going to know that you really did it? How do they know that you signed? This is what I think you should do. Really.
What?
Smear a little bit of the old sushi on the inside page so they get that smell when it comes, and then they'll know it's from you.
Too much, Andrew.
Too much? Too much.
No.
Over the top.
No.
Over the top.
I wouldn't do it with the sushi. I would do it with the ginger. Come on. You got to think like a marketer.
What's wrong with me?
Think like my gosh.
Fool. Yeah,
be
that's
the
right.
Fool. Be it.
Be the fool. Be the fool. I hear you.
It's just going to be autographed by me, and I want people to learn, you know, and it's not even your listeners are probably too rich to even care about penny stocks, but
right.
They can still learn, and you know, I think it's more entertaining. I mean, there's some entertaining stories. I mean, that companies that are putting vitamins into stem cells into vitamins, and you know, obviously Sponge Tech, you put the soap into the sponge first, and then it turns out that 90% of their customers live in Dubai, and then when the New York Post calls those offices, the numbers are disconnected the next day. You know, there's a lot of entertainment down here in penny stock land. It's exciting. We're going to make a movie one day.
Wow. Well, we'll make sure to do that. We'll put a link on the site. 10 books. That's great. And if you want to do it, we'll figure out a way to randomly pick people that have requested it, and we'll go from there. Tim Sykes, you are a breath of fresh air, and you are a compassionate and philanthropic individual. And I tell you something, you got to keep on doing what you do to beat the heck out of those penny stock promoting scumbags.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. You keep doing what you're doing. Keep shaving every day.
Thanks.
Will get better.
Appreciate that. And tell your friend Greg, if he has any problems, call me. We'll do some kind of, we'll figure out how to like do a bonfire in your apartment to get rid of everything, okay?
Nice. Sounds
all right?
Good.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye. Well, that is going to wrap it up for today. Oh, you can't get enough of Mr. Sykes. He's a real blast. So we're going to put some information on the podcast show notes page at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Make sure to go over there, check it out, and we will have lots more information. You need to make sure that you are, in fact, subscribed to the Twitter, Andrew Horowitz, because you're going to get all the updates, like when we talk about on Mondays, the indicators we're watching, or we bring up the other indicators throughout the week, some earnings announcements that may happen that we're looking at, some stock selections. Those are things that you really need to watch for, because they'll be very helpful in teaching you and educating you, also giving you some ideas on how to invest, because we all want to be profitable. That's what it's all about. In addition, we don't want to lose money along the way as best as possible, because risk, you know, there's always risk in investing, of course. If you want to participate in what we do here, if you want to be a part of the Horowitz & Company TDI Managed Growth Strategy, and be a part of that private blog we have for clients only, the whole transparent process of investing and teaching you how we invest and trading, because we do some fast trading. $50,000 minimum, you just have to go and check it out, and we'll put a post and a link on the post page as well. You can see a 14-minute virtual tour, very easy to and simple to take a look at. It tells you everything about it, and if you want to, you know, invest, we're here for you. In summary, be careful this week. Watch the indicators carefully. We'll put some posts up this week and see what's happening in terms of the outlook for the indicators. And until next week, I wish you a very profitable week. Thanks for joining in. Thanks for being here. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations, and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.